Entertainment with Michael Leddy. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Greg Hughes.
Good morning to you, Fanula Rabbit.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think you're a bit of an AH, really.
Oh, really?
Mm, I just thought I'd say it now.
Might as well. Can we no repercussions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there can. Yeah. Yes, there can.
My reach is far. It's far.
Right, so come here. This is our last That's Entertainment in this guise. You're going to be less available. Michael's taking a break for the summer.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see.
Hopefully he'll come back. So how are you feeling?
Well, I kind of sad and nervous and all that kind of thing altogether. But I said when we mentioned it before, my time here in Donegal has been transformative. I just had such an amazing time.
We made you who you are. 100%.
I seriously cannot. Donegal has definitely, not necessarily you specifically, but you had a hand in it.
Yeah,
but no, Donegal specifically has made me what I am. It has been an amazing time and I look forward to coming up on holidays and coming up for meetings and staying a few days and actually getting, because I still have never gotten to Tory. Everywhere else I managed to get, but I still haven't gotten to Tory. So that's definitely on the list.
Yeah, Tory's great.
That I have to do. Yeah, but yeah, so looking forward to coming up more in a holiday mode anymore now.
Of course, guesting on the That's Entertainment into
that's
the future.
It,
Michael,
exactly.
What's it been like working? We're not working. Waffling alongside Fanula.
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well then I won't ever...
It's better radio.
It's better radio. Well, it's heartbreaking that Fanula's leaving. I was just starting to like her.
Yes,
just coming around to her quirks.
It does take a number of years.
It does take a number of years.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, not just because of this slot, but also because we've hung out a lot privately.
To this slot, though. I helped the friend.
You did, of course.
100%.
Once Fanula got my number and my home address, unfortunately, that was it locked in. That was locked in. But yeah, we met through this slot.
Sent my payslips to a PO box. I haven't divulged.
See, I need to learn from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Need to learn from you. I made a tragic mistake.
Yeah, all right, okay. You were at the cinema, Mission Impossible: Final Reckoning.
Mm.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and I would love to get a chance to see it on the big screen because pretty much everything Tom Cruise is in is good. Really, generally speaking. I mean, I can't really think of many stinkers. And he's put a lot of himself into the Mission Impossible franchise. And I presume it's great.
Oh, no, look at it. Is complete. No, it absolutely. It's completely within the Mission Impossible franchise. You know what I mean? It exactly is what it says on the tin. My only thing is it like they start off and they said, this is the final one. I think it needs to be the final one.
Yeah.
Well, if I've watched them all from the beginning and Michael hasn't. So
yes, I've only seen this one and the last one.
Oh, right. Oh, really?
So okay, he's only seen the two. Whereas I've watched them from the beginning. Mm. And if you watch them from the beginning, much as he does some crazy stuff in this, it's still, like at one point there's a fight scene and we don't see it. We're looking at the expression.
Has he outgrown the role?
I know. I hate to say it as I'm aging myself, but
he looks great and fantastic.
He does. He looks amazing.
And he does. There's a you know, one of those crazy stunt scenes that he does, and you're like watching it going, I bet you this crazy guy actually did himself.
Yeah. I know the way
You know the way it's all like nearly done, like it's in one sequence. It's insane.
Mm.
But there is little bits where you're kind of like thinking to yourself, for me, when because I've seen them all from the beginning, you're like, that was a bit weird that they didn't kind of show that fight. And you're like, that normally would have been one of the highlights of it. You know the way it just... I do think he's just kind of aging out
which
of it.
Which we all are. I mean...
He's in his 60s now. Yeah, it's 63. Crazy.
Who would have thought when you're watching, you know, what's his face, Liam Neeson in Taken 3, that his next role is... in Police Squad or whatever.
You have to change things up a bit.
And I think that's it. Now it's and also it very much what I liked about it is it very much kind of wrapped it.
Mm. Yes.
And I'd hate to see. I think that if they do another one, what they should have done in it, and this is my own opinion, is they should have brought in a new Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
They should have tried to find, you know, the way, and then they could continue it on because they're still, but even Simon Pegg, is, you know, who's in it is kind of, even him, you're kind of like going, oh,
he
God.
He can't be the quirky nerd anymore. He's like, seriously. You know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're a grown.
Five kids and being laboured with a terrible mortgage.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, it's that kind of an idea.
You can't tell me what a JPEG is.
Yeah. But it's, you know what I mean? He doesn't know what TikTok is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Could be orange. I mean, they can, like, they can do a Mission Impossible origins, or they can,
yes, go back. You know,
100%. There's lots of different things, but I like, there's a couple of
characters. But even early on, when Ving Rhames came in, you were, there was like, as is always, this is one of the things I'll miss, Fionnuala communicating with me during the film. And it was like, Ving Rhames.
I'm feeling it's not fully over, but go on.
They've all got very old, haven't they? That was early on in the film.
Yeah, you can see different things in it. It's just
like and it's not the people, it's the characters. It's, you're like, how are they action heroes if they're...
Yeah, but as Fionnuala said, if you watch the first one, he's 12, right?
Yeah.
But and even with James Bond, I think they factored in his age. They played with that a little bit with what's his face, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
Craig, Daniel Craig when he was in
it. Van Jackson and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Mission Impossible stayed very true to what it is. If you look at like Fast and Furious, it's gone off all over the place, right? But Mission Impossible are good spy films, and they always have been. So you can see why you probably, we've grown up with them.
This one has actually gone a little bit Fast and Furious.
Has it?
There just seems to be, to me, there was
really?
A word
I missed that
came
bit.
Into my head when I was watching it. You know the way, very much in this now, right, is the story. So there is the entity which came into the thing, and then this is all about what is the entity. They kind of spend an awful lot of time like explaining what the entity is when you kind of already guess what it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Guess, yeah.
There's bits of it that kind
but
of doesn't
do
make.
But they do talk a lot. They do a lot of talky-talky.
Some like, of it doesn't. I mean, it's 2.5 hours long or just over two and a half hours.
Yeah, it's
and
a lot of talk.
You're kind of like, okay, you could have cut bits of, you know,
of
out of this. And, you know, like, it's the way at one point, like, they have to go and steal something in order to go to the next guy. And I'm like, just go to the guy. Don't bother stealing the thing.
Just
go to the guy and get the thing back off him.
Yeah.
You know, there's that that little bit of that in it. But if you are, you are not going to dislike this movie.
Yeah.
You're not going to walk away from it and think, oh, God, that was
but
a waste of tuna. It goes fairly quick. You didn't feel
No, it didn't. Yeah, I agree.
Even though it was long, you didn't feel like it was overly long.
To be honest with you, the fact that you're not, you know, slagging it off left, right and centre is impressive considering it's the last in a very long series.
Oh, it's like the eighth one,
eighth one in 30 years,
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I really...
It did fly, but you were sometimes waiting, you were like, hurry up and get to the next action bit. But when they got to the next action bit, you were like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, there was a lot of different bits and pieces in it. But there was little things where you thought they could have done things better then. You know the way it's in, like there's a character that passes away in it and you're kind of like going, I should have felt a little bit more about that. You know, there's different things that happen. But then they do also, they've brought in different characters that people who've watched it from the beginning, they do little kind of flashbacky thingies where they kind of flash through different things that he's done over the time.
Oh, yeah, you'll get, you know, anyone who's seen them all will get that.
If you've seen them all, you're kind of like going, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, so there's little kind of bits like that.
And Hayley Atwell is fabulous in this. I mean, she's gorgeous. That's one thing. But she gets a lot of heavy lifting to do with the story. Like, she does a lot of,
she does a lot of the fight scenes.
Almost 9 months pregnant from one of those fight scenes. I was reading it yesterday.
Wow.
She had trained for it. They said, you don't have to do it. And she was like, no, I've trained for it. I'll do it. She was like, but she looks amazing. And she carries the story in a lot of ways.
I think it might have been through lockdown or something, but I think me and Ashley watched one of them every night. You know, and there is a thread of a story, and it's more apparent. It's more apparent when you watch them sort of in the shorter space.
Of course.
Yes.
I think we did the same with James Bond.
Yeah.
Well, I think
they really hang together.
Yeah,
they
the Mission
really
Impossibles were kind of that bit further apart because he was always doing... Tom Cruise has done so many movies.
I have a feeling his Oscars and all are ahead of him. I can see him sort of transitioning into, you know, dramatic
serious
films
kind of,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
I think he... Because...
Well, he has a pedigree of doing those kind of things when he was younger, so he could comfortably go back to it.
And I think because of his Scientology and all that kind of stuff, he kind of is easy to ridicule.
Yeah.
But as I say, he's one of a very small group of actors, as far as I'm concerned, that he makes entertaining films.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
he
a movie
absolutely
star.
Does. But not only that, he has done some more dramatic stuff. If you think of like Eyes Wide Shut, a few things like that.
Boobs and bums, though.
He's very good in it, and he's
What's
very
the name
dramatic
of film?
In it.
Eyes Wide Shut.
He has, and I mean, he can do no wrong in my mind, just purely for his appearance in Tropic Thunder. Amazing.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I even forgave him the jumping on the couch in Oprah.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's so good. His comic timing, and apparently he came up with that. Yeah.
I might watch that film again.
I
might watch it.
It's so irreverent. If anybody hasn't seen it and you're over the age of 16, because there is some bits in it and you need to realize the sarcasm and that kind
so
of thing.
It's so sharp, yeah.
It's just... it's the best worst movie ever
the
made.
The fact that Iron Man hasn't been cancelled over it is
walked a very thin line there.
Everything.
It reminded me actually.
Ben Stiller. Oh my God.
Yeah. It reminded me a wee bit of Tom Cruise's comedic. It's surprising. Reminded me a little bit of Hugh Grant in The Gentleman and stuff. Do you know where he sort of they let the reins off a little bit?
Yes.
And they can ham it up and lean into it.
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah.
The best worst movie I've ever seen. It's so bad. It's just amazing.
It's hilarious. I think it's just class comedy.
It's just so funny. But he's amazing in that. And you just like you can do no
unrecognizable.
Wrong. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
He can do no wrong for me.
The End of the World's a great comedy as well. With Zach, what's his face, and
Zac Efron.
Yeah. It's actually quite a good film. It's one that you might not see, but comedies are so poor, but it's crude as well at times. But so Mission Impossible, my sense is that I think if I do get to see it, I do want to see this one on the big screen.
I would definitely.
Because it's a big film.
I would.
It's the end of a franchise, and it's been built for that, right? So that's really how you got to
think your reasoning is right, Jeff.
It definitely is. And even, like as I said, there's one massive thing that he does in it, and you need... Yeah. The sound
to see it,
you know what I mean.
Where he did a couple of films ago, whereby he went off the cliff on a motorbike, or where he's dangling out of the door in an aeroplane. Completely no need to do it.
Oh yeah,
He
could green screen it.
Yeah,
all day.
Do you remember when he was in Dubai and he was on a shard kind of thing, and he's running around the building and he actually did that.
Yep.
And then he did one in London where he ran, he jumped from, he was doing like that parkour or whatever they call it, and you can actually see where he broke his ankle and got up and stayed running.
Yeah.
The man is insane.
He does a lot of running.
He loves a good run.
He loves a good run. Like, there was some parts early on.
Sort of grade people when they stop running and grade how out of breath they are when there's running scenes.
He's never out of breath.
Huh?
And I have to say...
He just comes in and starts delivering dialogue.
To be honest, there's something about the Mission Impossible as well. It's the score. Because like at times, I mean, Tom Cruise has done this now for 8 movies. You know, you're fairly relied that when you're half an hour into the movie and he's in peril, I think he's going to be okay.
You know what I mean? I want that.
I know, but you know, but it's the music.
The music.
You know, like you're sitting there going, and it's doom.
Oh, it's
going
to happen to him,
oh my God, is he all? And then you're like thinking, for God's sake, it's 20
he's
minutes.
Running, he's running, is
this
he going to catch that bus?
2.5 hours long. There's no way he's going to die in the first 20 minutes.
So as someone who can reflect on the 7 previous Arcage incarnations, and obviously with the fact that maybe they could have used the opportunity to tease a new character, and maybe that character might come from within the cast yet, what would you give it out of 10 as a going out cinema experience?
It's not the best Mission Impossible. Like you said, it's a nice thing to sit down. I've seen better ones. I had lots more action, that kind of thing. But I did really enjoy it, and I would give it a good solid 8, 8.5, that kind of thing. It really was. But I do think big screen.
And as someone who may have watched it simply as a courtesy,
yes.
What would you give it out of 10, just as a standalone actioner?
I would give it a 7.
Well, because I think that's pretty generous.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. My heart belongs.
You've no emotional investment in the franchise.
That's it, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay. So all those flashbacks meant nothing much to me.
So a 7 is pretty decent.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. Like, I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it.
It's been in the cinemas a wee while now, so get along.
Last Wednesday. Wednesday.
When it launched.
Yeah.
All right, so it's got a good run yet to go in the cinema. Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. Broadly liked by both Fanula, who's a fan of the franchise, and Michael, who's just really a late adapter.
Okay, bullied into going.
We don't use the B word. It's 2025. You don't want Fanula cancelled, do you? And we're in the company of Michael Leddy and Fanula Rabbit. There's a love affair between Bruce Springsteen and Ireland. He's just one of those artists. He's up there with sort of Garth Brooks and A few others, you know, where there's that sort of traditional love of him here. And there's a special night dedicated to him on BBC Two coming up, Michael. Might
that
be one for fans.
Correct. Tomorrow night, actually, here, I have the timeline here. It starts at like 8:30. And you've got Bruce Springsteen at the BBC. Then you've got a documentary, When Bruce Came to Britain. Then you have a 2.5-hour concert. Then you have A Secret History after midnight. And then they're showing that movie from a few years ago, Blinded by the Light. Do you remember the fact? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically from 8:30 through to the wee...
That is a full evening
wee
of
small
entertainment,
hours.
Isn't it?
The BBC...
Has he passed away?
I think
if I was Bruce, I'd be checking my pulse.
I think that's even pushing the patience of fans.
I know.
Anyway.
The reason for this, the BBC, I'm going to read the press release. The BBC, because it's tomorrow night, BBC Two, the BBC is to celebrate Bruce Springsteen with a night of programming to commemorate the 50th anniversary of his first UK concert. So that's why.
And he's a wee bit toxic with half America at the moment because he's quite a vocal upholder.
People missing the point of his lyrics saying he shouldn't talk about politics. That's crazy.
And then Trump came out and said that he's untalented. I was like...
produced a video of Bruce Springsteen falling on stage and then Donald Trump swinging a golf club as if to say...
I missed that, thank goodness.
I'm in better shape.
But I've blocked the word Trump on a lot of my socials,
really?
So I don't want to be looking at that.
Oh, it's crazy.
The centrepiece of tomorrow night, by the way, is a brand new documentary from... Oh, it doesn't matter who this is from. But anyway, it's him talking in new interviews about his relationship with the UK. Brilliant. So for fans who may have seen some of the other stuff before... That's the centrepiece.
Yeah. And I think Irish memories might coincide with his performances in England.
One of the lads
he's been here so many times.
One of the lads I did the play with, one of the actors, massive Springsteen.
Have you seen him, Fionnuala?
Would you believe he's one of the few that I haven't seen?
And it is one of the few.
One of the few. I've been lucky to see some amazing artists, but he's one of the few I haven't seen because every time I had the opportunity to go, he brought a different band, and I always wanted to see him with the E Street Band.
Yeah.
And then Clarence passed away,
and then I
missed the whole thing.
Okay,
so I was devastated by it because he used to bring the blue. He very much brought the bluegrass band here a lot because he does have about three different. Now I don't know the members, so it could be similar members crossing over. But he does have a big bluegrass band, and then he has the E Street Band, and then he has another crowd as well that he's brought here. And what I think what he likes about it is in Dublin, you can find him in.
You can
find him in the pub playing and sitting in and just singing along.
Okay.
He seems to feel that he has a level of autonomy and that he can kind of go around and do what he likes when he's in Dublin, which is lovely.
Yeah, okay, so that's your Tuesday night, your Saturday night sorted.
Saturday night.
And if you don't see, I'm sure it's going to be repeated on BBC Four for eternity. that's generally what
that's
they
what
do.
BBC Four is for.
Forrester's Community Hall Youth Drama Group are presenting Pudsey Blackthorn's Wake by Paula McMullen. And Paula's with me. Hiya, Paula.
How you doing, Greg? Thanks for having me.
No, it's good to have you on. Right, now, there are shows in the Foresters Hall, Killybegs, on Saturday the 7th of June and Sunday the 8th of June. Admission is just €10 and people can pay on the door. So that's the housework out of the way. Talk to me about the play.
Okay, well, I've been writing plays locally for years. I actually don't know how many I've written, but I've been with the Foresters Community Hall Drama Group. We actually founded it 3 years ago.
Mm.
This is our fourth play in 3 years. There's always a core group of 30 kids, 27 of them, I think, on stage, and three that are backstage, stage management and scenery. So they're only aged 8 to 12.
Oh, lovely.
And this year we've gone steampunk with the costumes. So everyone has made their own costumes, and every costume, one is just even more exciting than the other. And so it's very much a do-it-yourself once the play is written. The play is called Pudsey Blackthorn's Wake. Pudsey Blackthorn is a human, and he rules the forest, and he's about to pass away. And meanwhile, his very greedy, selfish wife, Elspeth, has decided she's going to start cutting through the forest where the wee folk live to extend her kingdom. Now, this has annoyed every one of the goblins, the sprites and fairies in the forest, and some of them have decided they might like to be king themselves. So there's three or four of them grappling for the crown during the wake, but the good thing as well, during the wake, we will have a wake, and some of the kids, they're playing guitar, playing accordion, singing, and yeah, just singing and joining in. So it's kind of every talent they have. It makes me look cool.
There's a raffle on the night too in aid of the Bluestack Foundation and Foresters Drama Group. A lot of people would say, what are you working with so many children for, Paula? But you must love it, and they're super talented too, and they're so invested, and their families are too, with the costume making and everything else. And it sounds like it's a really fun story.
We couldn't do it without the parents, but we are so lucky. The support I have from the committee at the Foresters Hall, if I need anything, it's there. Kelly Daly, who oversees everything, Kelly does all our social media, all our marketing. She's there all the time, whether she's needed or not. And everybody knows Kelly. But Kelly, again, makes me look cool, because everything that we have from the posters, I would say, right, Kelly, this is what I would kind of like. And next thing, this, an extra masterpiece arrives. And I think to date, out of every play I've written, this poster is possibly one of my favourites.
It's lovely. It really is. I was going to ask you that, but I was afraid to because it's so good, in case you'd nicked it.
Oh, no, you can ask.
No, but do you know, I was afraid to ask in case you'd nicked it. Do you know that sort of way? So I'm glad you haven't. It's beautiful.
We don't nick it. But Pudsey, I'm from a family of 8 girls and 1 boy. And our brother, we called him Pudsey all his life.
Lovely.
So Pudsey Blackthorne is sort of after him. I have a son called Dulta, and God love him, all he ever got was Dooley. So there's a Dooley O'Hooley in the play, and they've all got really funky names like Lizzie Lemondrop and Sissy Pebbleston. There's some real brats in it, I mean acting as brats. But the noise level in the hall is something else. And by the end of the play, I won't sound like this anymore. You know, like an old community centre, you have to shout to be heard.
Yes.
Well, they're shouting, so you can imagine the level of me. But yeah, this year as well, another really amazing, we're so lucky that we have young Desmond Gallagher. He takes care of all our sound effects and lighting and sound, everything like that. And he comes with me to the hall every Monday, and he is just working his magic behind it. So we've loads of really stupid sound effects, like someone falling down a well. There's witches, there's goblins, there's sprites, there's the despicable human folk. And our logo for the whole play is Do Not Disturb the Wee Folk. Mm-hmm. And I suppose when I started writing this, I have always had a passion for Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. And this is kind of my nod to it in a way. And there's all these different wee stories within a story happening in a forest and outside the forest.
So, listen, Paula, we wish you every success with it. It's on Saturday the 7th of June and Sunday the 8th of June in Foresters Hall, Killybegs. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. Show starts at 8. So much effort's gone into this, not just by the young people involved, but in terms of you and the directorship and writing and all that kind of stuff. You can pay just €10 at the door. There's a raffle on the night, and it's in aid of a fantastic charity, in fact, two great causes, the Bluestack Foundation and the Foresters Drama Group, which gives so much joy to the community.
Yeah, we've decided we need our own microphone, so we're doing a raffle for that as well.
All right, okay.
But Greg, thank you so much for having
us.
The kids will be stoked that they've been mentioned. All the very best.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care of yourself, Paula McMullen there. Now, there is a coffee morning taking place in memory of Teresa O'Rourke, and all proceeds raised are in aid of the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, and it is on Sunday. It's at noon in the Meva Parochial Hall, and you'll have live traditional music during the afternoon, a collection of classic cars in the car park. You can enter the raffle and a chance to win great prizes. Make a donation at the door, no fixed amount, to be entered into a separate prize draw. It's a lovely setting, the Meva Parochial Hall, and the tea and whatever else they might have always at the very highest of quality. It's in memory of Teresa O'Rourke, and it's just one of a number of events taking place this weekend, and the second event taking place this weekend in support of the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, which just goes to show how important that trust has been to families in this county. And we heard yesterday from Noel Cunningham, he has his walk over the weekend as well. The Schlieve League walk. Where is that walk? I'll mention that again before the end of the programme. We'll come back to that. Of course, a big part of what we do here is supporting our wonderful communities out there. And the Inish Tractor Run is on this Sunday, starting at 11 a.m. at Banbacran, Malinhead. It's their 11th year, and they've given over 250,000 euro to charity. This year's charities are the Donegal Hospice, Inishon Hospice and Bumblance. The tractor run is followed up with a barbecue at Malin Stables. Well, you have me at barbecue. In Malin Town from 5 p.m. onwards, with live music throughout the evening into the night. This year's acts are Michaela Harkin, Gary Fitzpatrick and Mike Denver. Right, okay, Mike's up as well as the other two. That's from 11 p.m. So that sounds like a fantastic Sunday, that. So tractor run, barbecue, brilliant music, and you don't have to work the next day, potentially. So it's sure to be a great day's entertainment for the whole family. Help them add to that total €250,000 over 11 years. Remarkable. Now, Hidden Gems, CDP, Naross and Shop in Anagri, they're celebrating their first anniversary this Sunday at 2 p.m. They're having a free music show with Margot, the Queen of Irish Country Music, in Scubble on Pubble, Anagri. Everyone there is welcome. Wow, there's lots to do this weekend. Probably nothing to do in Galway.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure of it. Well, no, there's so much fantastic stuff that always goes on here. I was going to say to you there during the break, I'm really going to miss the amateur dramatics.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
It's so good. If I say one thing before I leave, it's...
And then I jokingly said, you mean the sales team?
Yeah. They are dramatic, but no. No, it's just, I've always been staggered by how good it is up here. It's so good.
I had to pick a department in the next couple of minutes. I didn't want to do news because I have to go in there.
But it can find you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah, of course. And I suppose maybe we take it for granted, but
you definitely do. I mean, like coming up from Galway where you have the Druid and you have all these big, you know, theatre companies and obviously a massive population. I mean, there's over a quarter of a million people living in Galway City and County. I've never seen anything like the dramatic.
Like, if you think in this county, Michael, you know, from the Abbey in Ballyshannon all the way up through the county, and then you talk about, you know, the traditional music, the musicians we have, the young bands.
It's phenomenal.
We've got the internationally well-known trad musicians and stuff. Like, and then you should even go into the world of sport if you wanted to. For the county of 167,000,
what it produces, and the caliber, the high caliber,
it's insane.
Like my Facebook feed, you know, when you mention musicians and people, it's all these Donegal people that are doing really well, and they're really connecting with audiences and with their it's fantastic.
And a lot of them, it's like a lot of the same music. It's artists, they're there, they have the catalogue. It's just the break they're looking for.
Yeah,
you know, because they have the quality that's there. It's amazing. Yes, it's a wonderful county to be a part of, I must say. Serial Killers, a podcast. I was watched a few documentaries down this neck of the woods. They can be a bit hit and miss, but I've watched some great ones.
Yes.
Podcasting, a huge podcast list. Comedy's my podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I decided to just go out of my comfort zone for this. Yeah. So Serial Killers is the name of a podcast. And it's got to date 605 episodes.
My answers.
So I didn't listen to
troubling.
I didn't listen to them all, although I do like to be prepared, but I wasn't able to do that. But I decided to start with the most prolific serial killer of all, who was a name that was unknown to me, Gary Ridgway.
Okay.
He is the Green River Killer. And so the podcast, first of all, has been around for almost a decade. And for several years, it was co-hosted by Greg Paulson and Vanessa Richardson. So they host the show. And it's actually very different to any podcast that I kind of heard before, because it's not a straight up documentary where you have a narrator and you have all those audio clips. Now, you do have audio clips. In this two-parter, each episode being 45 minutes, we get to hear the police the police audio from interviews. We get to hear courtroom, so we hear the actual killer a lot in it. But what they do is they have like a scripted conversation, which I can only describe as a very American way of doing things. So Greg is the host, and he brings on Vanessa, and he explains that she's not a psychologist, but she's an expert. So they have these fake conversations where he's kind of shocked by things, and she explains Freud to him. And
when you say is that a review when you say it's fake conversations?
Well, it's no.
Like,
it's,
do they know what they're doing?
They know what they're doing, and they're very polished. It's very American. It reminds me of shows I used to see over here in the '80s, like Ripley's Believe It or Not, or Foul Ups, Bleeps and Blunders, where the hosts have a conversation where Greg almost acts as if it's scripted, as if he doesn't know anything about it. So he says, I would imagine a serial killer will, you know, who's prolific as this, will spread far and wide and will not. And she's like, no, actually what's happened here is this. And she tells us how he actually, this guy stayed very close to home, very fascinating man. And then she talks about his Oedipus complex and how he had very, you know, sexual feelings for his mother. And our male host is like,
got his last one for a while.
Oh, really? And he's shocked. Like,
yeah, he knows.
He knows what he's talking about. So it's kind of got a fake vibe, but it means that they fill an hour and a half very easily by doing this. Yeah. So they focus on this guy.
It sounds like he's kind of maybe supposing what the audience might be.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a POV kind of guy. Now, they're both excellent and they're both very, very strong. Now, they were there for about 300 episodes. I've read that they've moved on since to separate podcasts. Oh. And the podcast still continues, and it's massive. I mean, 600 episodes over the last decade.
Remarkable.
605 episodes. Check it out. So this story, anyhow, is a dark story of the most prolific serial killer in American history. He was extremely prolific in the early 1980s for 2 or 3 years. He, at one point, killed 10 different women in 6 weeks. And they really go to explain how incredible that is compared to Bundy or any of the other serial killers. This guy was just... And it was Washington State, so it's Pacific Northwest. But this guy was just, this was something he did, it was a hobby. You hear him talking at great length, and it's so casual and so without empathy and so without feeling that it's really dark, dark, dark stuff. He got away with it. He was married 3 times. The first 2 marriages, his first wife, unknowingly, they would go out in the woods and he would stalk her, and she would play games with him where she would sneak up on him and he would sneak up on her. She thought there was nothing weird about any of this. But his third wife, who he married in the mid 80s, was the great love of his life. And he has said that once he found her, he lost interest in his little hobby. And between 1985 and 1998, he only killed 6 women.
So that was when he was reined in.
She had no idea, and her story is told to some degree. The onslaught of ridicule that woman has faced, obviously, when he was captured.
Well, this type of stuff is very listenable too, because I find myself, you know, there's certain types of documentaries where if you've got a lot of source material, they're very entertaining, but you don't really have to see it because often it's grainy corner of a room footage. So I might actually give this one a dabble.
This one is worth, if you were to, because I mean, I think you'd enjoy it because they have his audio and you hear him being interviewed and then you hear him in court. You also hear one of the victim impact statements, a mother of one of the victims. But it's dark but fascinating, well put together, and I would call it slick.
All right.
Slick. And I would imagine, this is a very successful podcast. I imagine they're all very similar. It's a slick show. And I know so many people love this genre.
All right. Serial killers. Yeah, indeed. It's one of those ones because we've talked about this last week. No point raking over old ground. I want to wish all the competitors from Lough Swilly Sea Angling Club travelling to Kerry for the All Ireland Sea Angling Competition. Good luck. Hope that goes well for you. This is actually really quite interesting. It's a bit of breaking news, but is actually in the area of broadcast entertainment. Gerry Adams has won his defamation action on the BBC Spotlight programme and has been awarded $100,000 in damages. So that's really quite significant.
Jeez, BBC seem to be so... I just saw them talking about it again. It was a news documentary and they seem so confident.
Sources. You know, sources that you can't name... It's very ropey. It's a very strong accusation he's made.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing saying that he may or may not have been the head of an organisation, but to imply that he was directly responsible or okayed the death of somebody else, you really need to be sound in relation to that.
Yep.
That's that. Right, now, I just want a quick mention of a different form of entertainment. It's the 47th Interfirms Road Race, and it's running on the original course, and it's based in and around Letterkenny. And Raymond Birch is joining us to discuss this. Right, a big, big it's not a milestone because it's like not a 50 or 40 or a 60 as such, Raymond, but my word, 46 previous runnings of a 5K, and it's on again. Pretty impressive work.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me. The 47th edition, it's probably one of the longest established 5Ks in and around the Northwest, so it is. And it's dating back to 1978, so it's great to have it in and around Letterkenny.
Well, thanks for reminding me. Thanks for reminding me 1978 was 47 years ago. I really appreciate that. Obviously, there's lots of different 5Ks and what have you. The Interfirm element of this is how it stands out, I think, and the team element to it. Talk to me about that and how important it is that, you know, if businesses aren't involved, that perhaps they do.
Yeah, well, we're very lucky to have Hickey Clark & Langham as our main sponsor, and it's a team element. It was touted way back at the beginning when firms, obviously, they wanted to have a bit of fun maybe in the evenings and have a bit of a challenge, and we decided we'd have bring the 5K element into it, and we normally had a men's team and a women's team. This year we brought in a mixed team, which you could have either two men and a woman, or a woman and two men, to add to a bit of fun to it. When you see the success of the Really for Life last week, and the pushing of the car and the team event, so it's something that we strive to have in the club as well.
Brilliant. It's not too late either. Registration is on the morning. It's €10 online, €15 on the day, so obviously more advantageous to do it online. And things get underway at the Aura Leisure Centre from 9 a.m. on Sunday week. Is that right?
Yeah, Sunday the 8th. The race starts at 10:30 and the registration from 9 in the Aura. This year as well, we brought in, because the course record is 14:06, was set by our own Danny McDade back in 1979.
Brilliant.
So this year we're offering €200 for anybody that can break the course record.
Excellent. That's a nice little angle, Raymond. Well done for you coming up to that one. Well done to Hickey Clark & Langan, Insurance Brokers as the title sponsor. And we appreciate your time, okay? You can to eventmaster.ie/event/GQ. Search Eventmaster and 47th International Road Race. They need to come up with a different way with GoFundMe and Eventmaster of making the URL a little bit more manageable.
Read them out and it makes sense.
Exactly. But anyway, you will find it. There's a QR code knocking around the place as well. So if you're a business, you want to get a few together, that is Sunday week. There is another thing here. What's your eyesight like? Do you want to do that one, Michael? Because the print is just too small for me.
So basically, do you want to read the whole thing?
Well, just pick it out. That's
Donegal County Council, Rathmullen Sailing and Water Sports Club cordially invite you to the official reopening of Rathmullen Pier in conjunction with the annual blessing of the boats. Venue, Rathmullen Pier. The date, Friday the 30th of May. Time, 8 p.m. 30th of May.
Today.
8th.
30th.
Yeah.
Today. Oh, I thought you were saying the 30th.
Sorry. 8 p.m.
Tonight, great stuff. Coincides with the high tide. Thanks very
much
indeed.
No bother. It was tiny, wasn't it?
Beg your pardon.
Tiny letters.
I mean, I could read it,
yes,
but my eyes would just be crossed for the rest of the day. I'm disappointed you didn't read it in Irish. I produced it in both Irish and English for you. All right, back with Michael and Fionnuala after these. Just to let you know, by the way, at 7 o'clock this evening, you can tune in to the Donegal International Rally social media page and also Highland Radio's page and join Oisin Kelly and a host of guests as they officially launch the Donegal International Rally for this year. So that's a huge event. The launch of it takes place tonight, and you can watch proceedings that are being broadcast from Letterkenny on the Donegal International Rally Facebook page and on Highland socials from 7 o'clock this very evening, if you don't mind. I somehow managed to get myself roped into that, but anyway, which is all good.
Good night.
You know, it should be good, and then I'll head down to see you.
Oh, right.
Fionnuala's actually out in the wild. wild. Yeah, in the wild. Normally we see her, she'll be hopping over, peeping over the tall grass to spot her prey.
David Attenborough will be commenting.
Yes, of course. Okay.
That's it. This is taking a really interesting turn.
I think my nightlife is much more exciting than it is. Hasn't been like that since the 80s, sadly.
No, and you know what? Do you miss it?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I don't miss it.
Who has the energy?
Yeah, I don't have the energy for it anymore.
It's the beauty of getting older.
Yes, Department Q on Netflix, is it?
Yeah. So Department Q, and I've only managed to watch the first one, but I'm glad I get a chance to mention it because it is really good. And it only just dropped last night. So this is why I haven't had a chance to watch more of it. Normally I would end up sitting up, but there's 9 episodes. So even I couldn't give it 9 hours last night.
I don't know.
You've
banged out 3 or 4 episodes of something that started at midnight before.
Yeah, I have.
You do have
I know, but I have to be better. I have to just be better. And also, my house is upside down with the move, so it's all over the place. So, this is Department Q. It was flagged as kind of being their big summer thing for Netflix. It's gotten some fantastic reviews online, so I was kind of looking out for it and waiting for it to come. It stars Matthew Good, who's the main person. Matthew Good is one of those actors who you may not recognise his name, but you will 100% recognize his face. He plays a very kind of, British thing to my mind in things that he's been in. He's been in Downton, he's been in Imitation Game. He was
Good
in
Wife.
The Good Wife.
Loved him in The Good Wife.
Things. Kelly
seasons.
MacDonald is another actress that some people will recognize her name, but everybody will recognize her face. She's been in loads and loads of different things. And Shirley Henderson goes back to Four Weddings and a Funeral. So they're all very well up. This is based on a series of Danish books, which to me, that just ticks my box all the way because for some reason...
Scandinavia, they do it well.
Oh my God. They haven't made this now. It's been adapted for the UK, but they're always quirky.
Yeah.
I've never watched anything over there that you're not like going, what is this? You know the way any of the stuff that's written in the books, it's definitely a part of the world I'm going to have to go and explore more. Because if the people that live there are anything like the books that they write, very interesting place. So this is based on a series of Danish books, but what they've done is they've adapted it for the UK and it's set in Scotland. Matthew Good is a detective. We've seen kind of the basic arc of it in different things. He's a detective and he's had a very traumatic experience, and then suddenly he's been kind of been shunted over because of what has happened to him into like a cold case team that he's running, and the cold case team is full of all these people that are a little bit quirky and kind of, go their own thing. But it's just really interesting and really well done, and they're really good characters in it. So
is it like Slow Horses as a cop show?
It's not quite as intense as that. Okay. The way there's a lighter kind of a side to it and that with it. But yes, it is. As I said, I've only watched the first one, but it's very interesting, but it's getting massive reviews. So it's definitely one if the bad weather actually turns. Yeah. If not, be out and about. But if bad weather turns, it's definitely worth looking at.
All the usual cliches aren't missing, are they? That we see in detective shows?
No, it's got all its bits and pieces. It's just the cast is phenomenal in it, and it's just, look, cop shows, if you watch them, and I watch loads of them, and I'm always looking for ones, because to be honest, they've gotten rid of so many of them.
It's so true.
Endeavour, they finished... Vera's finished. They finished Lewis. They finished, everything. So all of these ones that really were the staple of the kind of the 90s and the noughties and that have all sort of fallen by the wayside now.
Is this one episodic? Is the first episode a full case, or do we have to watch 9 episodes to get
the case? No, it's kind of has both. They're sort of like arching stories, but most of it is that there's a full case in it as well.
Okay.
And I was running through the reviews and the negative reviews of those who watch the Danish TV series of it or the books. So,
they're comparing.
And it's going to be like The Bridge, isn't it? Where people compare
the original
and that.
And that was an amazing TV show. I can't even imagine. Really good. I'm really looking forward now to kind of getting in and watching it all the way through. There just really has a really good feel about it. And I think it's going to be worth
it. I know exactly what you're on about when you watch the first episode or something and you think, right, I can't wait to get back.
Yeah, I'm going
to
like it. Yeah.
Okay, that's Department Q. I did note actually in reading some about it, it was on Netflix and then came off it and was on it and off it again, but that's probably just a tech issue, which I'm sure it's been resolved by
Maybe now. Demand, maybe got in the way of their servers, who knows?
Possibly, although you would imagine. BBC One The Heat.
The Heat. Oh yes, got love this film.
On this one.
Yeah,
oh,
it's very like this is the Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy movie. They did two.
It's funny. Yeah.
Yes,
it's really funny,
so funny.
This is one of the films where I started changing my views on Sandra Bullock.
Oh really? You didn't like her before?
Well, when she was in the film, I know you love her, by the way. I just thought when she was in the film, she just had this character.
Yes.
But then I started watching her in different stuff, and
she's great at comedy.
You know what? Actually, but she was also great in that space film.
Oh, she was. Yeah, I love that film as well.
And that one where she is blindfold on.
This was great. They did another movie together about spies. They should have done a sequel to The Heat, I think, because it's so funny. They're mismatched cops. That's all you need to know going in. It's on tonight on BBC One at 10:40. Again, if you're sitting in tonight, it's hilarious whether you've seen it. I would watch it again.
Oh yeah, watch it a few times.
It's so funny. And they're so good together. Melissa McCarthy at that time could do no wrong. Those days are sort of gone now. She sort of has had a lot of misfires. So it's great, I would imagine.
Because she didn't change.
Revisit. She got stuck in a rut. Yeah, doing a lot of,
her weight being part of her humour. And
being a bit foul-mouthed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So kinda,
but this is her in her prime.
Tawdry. She's a bit tawdry.
Yeah, yes. You're blushing as you watch the film. I know.
It's dramatic, though.
This is so good.
Yeah, but it's just the... It's
sameness.
It's just the sameness in the comedy.
Oh, yeah. They did that thunder...
Oh, the superhero thing?
Yeah. Oh, God, it was ghastly. That was one of the worst.
That's an actual bad film, yeah. Really bad.
And a lot of the stuff... and you can see often from the cutouts is ad-libbed, so she'll try and say something funny 50 times and then they'll choose one that works.
But to be honest, I know you're going to be about Sandra Bullock, but Sandra Bullock is a bit Tom Cruise-y in the sense that I don't think she's done a bad I'm not sure I've seen her in anything that I think she should be getting like Oscars or stuff like that,
but she always delivers.
It's always an entertaining.
Murder by Numbers is a great film.
Excellent movie, and based on a true story. It's so good. Remember The Net back in the day?
Yes, of course.
I watched The Net this year.
It came out on one of the streaming channels.
Went back watching her films that I poo-pooed because I thought I didn't like her. So I've watched my...
And you've re-evaluated favourably.
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, in fairness, I like her.
We have to go. Thank you very much for being part of this segment.
Oh, it's been amazing.
You still retain ownership of the station, so it'll be nice.
Yeah, have to say nice things.
Michael, we'll hopefully re-engage again after the summer.
It's been great fun. Great fun.
A wonderful thing, and you as a team have been incredibly popular together. So
I know, no Kevin. Kevin hasn't texted us at all.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, maybe he's too upset.
I'm proud, Kevin. I'm very sorry. We never got to meet you, Kevin.
I held it together. I said Wednesday I'd probably be crying by the time 12 o'clock, but I've held it. Oh no, I shouldn't have said that.
All right, so this door in its current force, in its current format closes, and potentially another door opens. Donna Marie Doherty sitting in for John Bresson around the Northwest. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. It's her first time, I think, sitting in for John, and I have absolutely no doubt she'll do a fantastic job in relation to that.
Of course.
Fionnuala, thank you. Michal, Michael, thank you very much indeed. We'll be back on Tuesday. I've got Monday off. I just hadn't realised. Okay, we'll be back on Tuesday. Have a fantastic weekend. And if you're working, as many of you are, I hope people are polite to you. By the way, you know, over the weekend, a lot of people are working in the bars and restaurants, and they're going to be wedged, and you know, be nice, be polite, have a little bit of patience, and maybe drop them a few pennies as a tip, euros, you know what I mean. But anyway, listen, have a fantastic weekend. Chat to you real soon.